Hey everybody, it's Shelly Hoffman, and I am here with my favorite industry friends and knowledgeable people, and that would be Rob, Dave, Steve, and Jason, and Christy's hopefully joining us later today. But today's topic is about flipping properties, and we have who I consider an expert, he may not, but Dave has flipped numerous homes in Central New York. And I can speak from the real estate standpoint that when we walk into flip homes, there's some scariness to it. You know, we have like what we call weekend warriors, where we're not exactly sure if all the finishing touches are done well. But when you see someone's name like Dave Ferguson or his company, it gives you a little bit more of a warm and fuzzy that the stuff that needed to be done to make this house safe and secure was done. So kind of a long introduction, but I wanted to make sure Dave got his props because I know he won't give them to himself. So how you guys doing today?
Good morning, Shelley.
Good. Thanks. So, Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you. I know you haven't been flipping lately because of the seller's market, but when I first got into the industry, you were quite busy between doing home inspections and flipping houses, right?
Yeah, I would say, I was trying to think how long it's been. I think I had about a 5-year run. Not so much in the last couple, but during that time, probably, at least a couple dozen homes. And, coming into it initially, I was hands-on. First one was another design project for me where I was able to utilize a lot of the leftovers I had from my own home that I had built previously and incorporate it into the house and make it really nice. And design and that element of stuff kind of drew me to it, as well as business. Obviously, the opportunity for income was more substantial at that point than it is now. And got into it pretty heavily and did really great on the first one, and it kind of got me the bug to keep going and made a few different moves and kind of built things up from there. Went into actually doing the staging end of things and bought a trailer and filled it with furniture and, you know, put on the whole presentation when it comes to what I consider a modified home or a refurbished home. I hate the word flip.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, it is what it is, but it just connotates the worst of the worst because it has such a bad name because there's so many people out there doing it half-assed. The experience from that end of it and then being a home inspector and seeing what people do and don't do has been quite a learning curve and made me realize that if I really wanted to make money in flipping houses, I would have to change my mindset of caring about what I gave to the end user because I had a tendency to do way too much. And the end product was great. People were very happy, but my account didn't jump for joy in terms of the end of the day. I wasn't making the money. The guys that were skipping corners were. And that was disheartening and still is. I mean, the people that are making money are either in the field where they have access to materials at a discounted rate, meaning they own a lumber company, which I know one in particular that does. And they're doing the work themselves. Now, if you're doing the work yourself and you know what you're doing and you have great access to materials, perhaps you can, you can still make money in this industry now, but that's not what the majority of flippers are out there. They're, like you said, warriors that watch too much HGTV and they pick up a hammer and try to figure it out. And when they get halfway through the process, they realize they're in over their heads. So they got to cover things up and cut corners and not do things they thought they were going to do. And by the time I show up to inspect it, I'm mortified at the things I see sometimes in inspections on flips. It's made me very leery to even inspect flips because I'm only seeing what I can see. I don't have X-ray vision or magic powers. If I can see all this, what can't I see? What has been covered up? And it's scary. So essentially, due to the market changes and lack of a solid crew, which at one point when I was really cranking, I had, but things change and people come and go. I had been burned by a number of contractors and made less money and just looked at the whole picture and said, you know what, I've got easier ways to turn income into more income, and just kind of pulled back from it since everything that's happened. If I trip over something, that I can't say no to, I'll figure something out and do it. But I'm not trying to trip over anything at this point. I'm just kind of sitting back and watching the market do what it's doing. So that's kind of a little synapse of my time frame along the process. But
well, I think the market, like going back to the market, kind of dictates, is this, if in a seller's market, you're paying more for a house, right? And right now with COVID, all the materials are more expensive, you know, than they were 5 years ago. But let's say that we go back to a stable market or a buyer's market, because that's got to come around. We all agree, right? Eventually it's going to come back around. It always does. What did you look for in a house, Dave, that said this would be a good flip? There's a lot of programs out there called boots on the ground, things like that, that kind of show people who are getting into it. But at the same time, you've been there and done that. So if you walked into a house, how would you know if it was a good opportunity or not?
Well, I would turn my 3-hour inspection into a 30-minute inspection and get a quick view of the things that I need to be concerned about. And, you know, it really wouldn't matter from a standpoint of how bad the house was. Really, I mean, I put houses on stilts and rebuilt foundations and tore out the entire electrical system because it had aluminum wiring and redid it. I flipped a house that was caught on fire. We've done some pretty bad homes and made them beautiful again, but it's a process and it costs a lot of money. And, you know, you've got to be smart with those figures to end up on the plus side. I've never lost money, but to put out, you know, at one point, I think one house most I had spent was maybe $170,000, at the end of the day. Gosh, I can't remember what the number was. It wasn't as much as I want, but I've never lost. But you know, you want to see a certain return on your money. And when that repeatedly didn't happen for, I'd say more of the houses than not, you just look at it and say, well, either start cutting back. We're not going to change every window in the house. We're not going to, re-insulate and do the entire wiring program. And we're not going to add a porch or build a new deck. I mean, and it was all not high end materials, but you know, we used good stuff. And, I put the design into it and we do staging and it got to be too much. In fact, when the market was really picking up, I got to the point where, God, I got to go unload another truck and stage a house for what? The house is going to sell in 2 minutes with or without a fake couch, you know? So stop doing that. And then every step of the way, you're kind of bobbing and weaving and trying to figure it out. And the truth of the matter is, anyway, I come back to the end of the story, the money's made the less you do. The guys that are making the more money will use the old cabinets. So if they can, anything they can get away with to a point of, God, I can't believe they didn't change that. But these buyers are still paying this much for this house. And I shake my head. They don't do it. They don't do anything. And they're the ones making the most money. So there's probably a range of, I was on the far end, you're doing too much, you're not making enough. There's the far end of you're not doing anything and you're making way too much and it's not right. And then right in the middle where someone's doing an average amount of both and presenting a somewhat decent product that's going to need a few things and maybe I find a few items. That's probably the balance. But if you're just writing checks to contractors, which I was doing after the first few, you know, it's cutting into your profit margin quite a bit and just didn't find it to be worth it. I don't know if that answers you.
Dave, would you find that like carpet, paint, countertops go a long way? Like it seems like a lot of times I'll see like stuff that, well, before, like you'd see things that hit the market again and aesthetically they look great, like from a cosmetic perspective, you know, always seem to have this sort of kind of like cleanish overall look. And that seemed to be like the thing everyone would gravitate toward, as opposed to like wondering about like, well, what's the age of the roof or how old is the furnace? Or let's talk about that electrical system. Instead, it's, whoa, Corian or granite countertops, I'm sold. Would you find yourself being like, all right, if that's what they're after, then so be it.
You know, towards the end, I tried to develop that mindset, but it's just not me. I can't, I'm a landlord too. I've got a property, you know, apartment complex. And I have a hard time. I talk to guys that want to buy properties and build their portfolio of rentals. And this one guy that I deal with all the time is usually a higher end residential home buyer. And now he's moved into this complex of really low end apartments and commercial space. And I'm talking to him saying, why do you want to do this, man? What, it's not your angle. He's like, yeah, but this place makes money. You know, they don't do anything and it makes money for itself. I'm like, yeah, if you can get your mindset, your headset around being that guy, that when you get phone calls, you just ignore them and you don't fix anything, people will stay and pay lower dollar. And he's trying to convince himself that's him. It wasn't me. So I just decided it didn't make sense for me to keep doing this if I can't meld to that. But back to your question. Yeah, lipstick on a pig is exactly what it is.
Right.
People love the finished product. You put a nice shiny glass backsplash on and new countertops. Mm-hmm. You know, throw in some of the latest trends of shiplap or, you know, lighting, and yeah, you'll sell anything. And I'll even do the inspections and show them the backside of the problems and say, look, it might look good to your eye, but behind it, these are the items that are of concern and they're significant. Okay. Look, don't do anything until you call this contractor, call this expert, get this looked at. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then they call me a week later, go, hey, will you come over and give me some ideas on the such and such that you mentioned or this or that? I'm like, no. Yeah. I'm like, I told you to call contractors. You're going through with this? Well, the guy said he'd fix X, Y, and Z. I'm like, the guy that said he'd fix X, Y, and Z didn't do the entire alphabet to begin with. Why are you entertaining this? It's like, it blows my mind. And I can guarantee it was, you know, the significant other that wasn't there for the inspection. Just saying, honey, let's do this. This house is beautiful. You know, they get blinded. And right. It's like smoke and mirrors. They literally just flash a little bit of shiny stuff at them. And God, sometimes it doesn't matter what you tell them.
So when we walk through those homes, you know, to your point, Steve, I use the same terminology, lipstick on a pig, right? Because that's what it is. You're making something pretty that's not typically, you know, typically a pig's rolling around in mud, right? Mm-hmm. And so while they're looking at the pretty countertops and walking on that new carpet with some good padding underneath of it, you know, we're looking as realtors, we're looking at the corners, we're looking at the ceiling, we're looking at the disclosures. But sometimes people really don't care. And it's heartbreaking after they move in, they've had the home inspection. And, you know, we always give 2, 3, 4 different people for them to use, right? Like Dave, you've done home inspections for me, but I've also given other names of people. But I sometimes say, you know, the beauty of having a home inspector like Dave is he has flipped homes, so he knows what to look for. So you're trying to guide them to maybe some additional information to that. But it really comes down to, we wish that when somebody decided to flip a property, they would do the roof, the furnace, the air conditioner, the electrical, the plumbing, because that's truly making a home safe and structurally sound again, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, we're seeing countertops, painted kitchen cabinets with new hardware. But there are really good flippers out there. And to Dave's point, they're contractors. So they're using their own time, maybe in the winter. I have some contractor friends that say, find me a house in the winter because we're not nearly as busy. Although now this year, they probably will be. But I was just kind of curious. But Dave and Steve, one of you guys can answer this. I'm assuming once you purchase a home to flip it, you need to have insurance on it, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, Steve, do you get phone calls for that? So you know it's a short-term flip? You know, does it
even work? Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like your standard homeowner's policy, obviously, because it's a different sort of beast. But ultimately, you're going to write a policy that has an endorsement on there. That alludes to the fact that it's under renovation. And typically that will be given a 6-month window that can be extended for an additional 6, depending on the carrier. But it's the expectation is that after 12 months, this is wrapped up, because you're also rating for it as a vacant property as well. So it's not just that it's under construction, but essentially like under remodel, and which is a pretty wide scope of things depending on someone's definition of a remodel. So we have that plus the vacancy endorsement in there. And so you get sort of charged an upcharge on the vacancy because the, you know, obviously not as many eyes there, liability, et cetera. And then you have to endorse it with theft of building materials, because ultimately people are there doing work. And if the material has not been affixed to the property and it's inside the property and the property is then stolen, then there's no coverage for that unless you specifically endorse it for theft of building materials. And that's often overlooked. So yeah, we do. And I'm sure Dave, a number of times, has probably run into it. And I have a follow-up question to kind of piggyback to that, Dave, which is, when you were doing these purchases, typically, were you buying them in your name or as an LLC?
LLC. I opened an LLC and started a company. Yeah. But yeah, we carry multiple policies on. I'd have 2, 3, 4 houses at a time. And, yeah. Let's just take your average couple that sits there and watches TV and says, "Hey, honey, we can do this. You know, I built an addition and I used to play with electrical, or, you know, you're great with paint. Let's go flip a house." And they'll buy one. And, then all of a sudden they realize, well, I'm paying taxes, I'm paying insurance, I'm paying utilities, I've got a full-time job and you got the kids. So we're there on weekends and, you know, this is going to take a year. Well, if you don't flip a house in 3 months, you're losing money.
Right.
Not to mention, they run into the problems once they start tearing things apart. That demo phase is fun, but then you realize what's behind it and go, "Oh crap, we got this issue. I didn't know this was here. Well, what are we going to do about it?" They're either going to dump part of their budget into something they'll never see, or they're going to go, "Well, let's cover it up." Mm-hmm. You know, it's not hard to do. I can't see what's covered up when I inspect a house. I might have some signs and some inkling of an issue, but it's not right in front of me. I can't necessarily prove it or state it as fact. But again, you get a general sense of the type of work that gets done, that things get overlooked, to know that, you know, we've probably got a bigger problem here on our hands than we can see in front of us. I always ask who's the company or what's the name of the guy doing the job. And there's certain names that if I hear it, I'll literally tell the client, "Don't buy the house." You know,
right.
Just don't even mind. There's nothing but trouble under that particular name. Which maybe I shouldn't do, but I do. And then a lot of times they won't listen to me anyways because they like the house.
They like the house.
But,
is that insurance policy more, Steve, than if they were living in the house, or is it less?
Yeah, it's going to be more. I mean, the likelihood of loss is more significant and greater to the carrier than, say, a standard typical homeowner's policy. You know, like Dave said, I mean, you've got people who make these purchases and then they're in there on the weekends. So they button up shop on Sunday evening and then the water leak happens an hour later and no one's in there till Friday. And by the time someone shows back up, we got a mess on our hands. Whereas a homeowner is going to be like, "Whoa, hey, look, guess what? Turn the water off," and someone's right there to notice it. So these sort of situations, plus a lot of times they these houses look like nothing's going on, which is very inviting to somebody walking by who has, you know, kind of thoughts about copper wiring or pipes or metal or whatever they might be able to grab hold of. And, you know, there's all these extra, you know, pieces to it that don't necessarily fall into a standard home risk. So a lot of carriers just won't even do it. I mean, your big market carriers and stuff out there are going to be less apt to have a program for it, but your regional folks, they have no problem with that market. There's a charge for it, but typically, you know, like Dave said, if you can get in and out of it inside of 3 months, then you're only paying for 3 months worth of premium anyway. So you're not really holding on to it for all that long. So the expense of it isn't the full annual costs so much as it's about a quarter's worth or so. And so that, you know, that just, obviously, you just work that into your numbers, I guess.
Well, changing the topic just a little bit, I want to throw this to Jason, because I know, Jay, I get questions. People come in and say, "I want to get into the investment side." And I know you don't do a lot with the investments, but they think their first house, they can make an investment, right? So you probably get questions about first-time home buyers buying a two-family, renting things out, or buying a fixer-upper to live in. They have to buy cash for it, but then they want to refinance it and turn it into a rental. Do you ever get questions like that? Because it's not, even that piece isn't as easy as people think it's going to be.
Yeah, all the time. Like Dave said, you know, somebody flips on HGTV and they're like, "Oh yeah, we can do that. I I've got a good design style and blah, blah, blah. So we get a decent amount of inquiries from folks, which is good. I mean, that people should inquire. It's when the people that don't inquire, you know, come back and say, hey, I bought this place and basically I need to figure out how to get my money back so that I can pay back my 401k or my Aunt Jane, you know, the money that I borrowed from her, I got to get back to her. And so I'm calling you. Well, sometimes, depending upon the situation, there's restrictions where you can't do anything for, say, 6 months. Or if you can do it within 6 months, there's restrictions on what you, you know, what you can do. So I've seen people get in a pickle that way. You know, and also like where the money came from. Well, if that money came from Aunt Jane, you know, you can only take enough money to pay her back and that's it, you know? So again, there's a lot of different situations, but even folks coming in, first time home buyers looking to acquire, their home that they're going to live in. There's rules on if they're looking at a house that's a flip. There's certain finance types won't even allow it. So say within the first 3 months, it would not even be eligible to be financed through certain loan types. So FHA. I've had people, FHA loans. I've had folks come in and say, hey, I have an offer accepted on this house. And we look up the property and we're like, listen, it was, you know, it was flipped within 90 days. It's not eligible.
Was it 6 months? And,
yeah, 6 months. So after 90 days, then they're going to have two appraisals done on the home to make sure that, you know, as protections, it's all good stuff, protections to the consumer and whatnot. So it's, you know, like anything else, if somebody's trying to get into buying a home just for an investment or for their primary, or they're looking into getting into flipping, well, you need to know kind of what you're getting yourself into. You got to talk to people that are in each specific industry and say, you know, what are the pros? What are the cons? What are the pitfalls? You know, I've had people, you know, just call me and bend my ear for strategizing. Like, okay, you've been around the block long enough. I've flipped houses. I've got rentals. I've, you know, give me your insight. Give me your advice. And I have no problem doing it. But a lot of people don't call and ask.
Right. Can you explain a little bit more, Jake? Because I will say the FHA 3 month, that even confuses a lot of realtors out there. You know, when you've been dealing with it for a little while, you've heard it once and you understand it. But let's say that Dave gets back out and he flips a home, and I have a buyer who's FHA, and Dave, you did it super fast. It's only been 2 months. You throw it back on the market. You explain why that would be a problem?
Well, who did you ask to speak?
Probably Jason, unless you know that answer too, Dave, because I'm sure you've educated people, because the last thing you want is a purchase offer that falls apart.
Yeah, I'll just speak, but from a seller side, I wouldn't accept your offer. One, it's too soon. I can't. But even if I could, I don't want to deal with two appraisals. It's going to slow me down and hold things up and makes more complicated. I want a conventional buyer, and that's all I can take in the first 3 months. You know,
I'm wondering how many people who are flipping these properties know that.
Probably not a lot of them. That's especially if they're first time, they probably have no clue. They'll find out at the end when they have, you know, the majority of the first time home buyers are FHA. But go ahead, Jay, if you've got a thought on that.
Well, excuse me. Well, just to answer your question, why? It's because that's what the federal government says. HUD came up with a rule and said that as a protection to buyers, we won't allow financing on a flip that's less than 90 days. I don't know why, you know, what the logic is. Why is it different if it's 92 days? I mean, obviously they're doing two appraisals, but they're like a lot of things in the lending and real estate world. They're designed as protections for the consumer.
The two appraisals, when are they done? You know, is it a time period between the two? How do they decide when they're doing the two appraisals?
Sometimes they're done simultaneously. Other times, if if somebody's applied for a loan and for some reason it's not picked up, that it's in between, you know, between the 90 and 180 days, then it's like, oh, we need a second appraisal. And so it just depends, but ideally simultaneously. But yeah, I mean, so it's just to make sure that you know, because you could hire five different appraisers and get five different results. So it's just a check and balance to make sure that, you know, that house is really, that was bought for $50,000 and resold for $125,000 is truly worth that. And two appraisals they feel handles that.
Gotcha. Rob, just like most financial advisors, I'm like, you probably don't put all your eggs in one basket, right? And real estate, obviously, for some people is an amazing investment. Today's point, as far as sometimes people borrow money to do properties, and you know, from my standpoint, if they're not contractors or anything, and what we've seen in homes, they could wind up losing that money. But there's other things from the seller standpoint, right? Like capital gains and, you know, how much have you made, that type of stuff. Do you ever get into any of that with any of your clients?
Yes, I do. You know, over the last 30 years, I've constantly, you know, the whole idea of the flipping or being the landlord, you know, every time there's an uptick in the market is when people, you know, I'll have every couple of years, I'll have a client come to me and say, you know, I'm within 10 years away from retirement. I don't have as much money. You know, we don't have as much money saved up as we should. I'm going to get into house flipping. Oh, are you? You know, and they're a, you know, Lockheed Martin engineer or something else. And I said, well, where's your experience? So I don't have any, but this is quick profit. I can turn around. And so that's, you know, same thing with the landlord, you know, and I just try to set these people, sit them down and say, okay, listen, this isn't your business. Leave it up to some professional. You know, you're a school teacher. You wouldn't go apply for a job as an engineer tomorrow. You know, why do you think you're going to be a contractor or a landlord now? You don't have any experience. And they don't, you know, they just don't realize, they see everyone wants to make quick money and not work for it. And that's what they see. You know, they either see the HGTV show and they say, oh, I can do this. I replaced my toilet last week. I can put on an addition. I can redo this. And that's, you know, we all laugh about it, but I see it, you know, quite a bit. And they're just, they see the infomercials on the people that sell those seminars for $1,000. They come into your area. You know, we can train you to be a house flipper, you know, but they're not training them on how to act as the general contractor and what the local building codes are. You know, they just see, wow, you know, I can make a quick 10,000 or 12,000 or whatever. So those are the people that just, I've got to try to, you know, calm down. You're better off just doing it the old fashioned way and adding extra money to your 401k or IRAs. There's no quick money. There really isn't.
No, I get every once in a while, like, as you guys know, I walk through houses pretty much every day. And that's why I was kind of curious when I asked Dave about if you could tell what a good flip is or not. And there are contractors that I walk through with who obviously, you know, if it's the right home could make a profit, but a lot of them are the foreclosed homes that have been sitting vacant for 455 days. You know, if they're out in the country, you know, is the septic any good? And, you know, in the well, does water even come out of the well? Things like that. So there's all these things that when somebody really knows what they're doing, they have that checklist and say, these are the things, this is how much it's going to cost. Like, you know, Dave said you could walk through in 30 minutes and you have an idea of what things are going to cost. But then I'm assuming there's a buffer, right? Where you put a little bit more at the end for the unexpected. What's that typical percentage or amount that you put at the end, Dave?
For me, 20%. Always okay. A 20% margin. For the unknown and things that you decide you want to do as you're developing the project. Because I always wanted to put a touch to things that were above and beyond the standard flip, and incorporating that cost money. But yeah, you can always plan on the unexpected. And I always stuck to a particular area so that I wasn't dealing with wells and septics and problems that, again, can't be seen and can create other issues. But you talk about 456 days, that's the time that it's actually on the foreclosure list. To get to foreclosure, it had been sitting 3, 4, 5 years. There are houses that I've had that I've been looking back on the history of them. From the time they were moved out of, from the last time someone lived there to the time somebody moves in, could be up to 7 years. It's a lot of decay and problems and things that require a lot of attention. But again, I'll do these flips out in the more rural areas, and the guy's buying the house. I'm like, are you getting a well and septic test? Well, it's kind of as is. I'm like, well, it's kind of a standard. You must know this is okay, and not just your standard testing. I would really urge you to have the tank opened up and evaluated fully, because a standard septic test is pretty insignificant in terms of results and accuracy. So there's just, but they're buying them again without any knowledge of this stuff. They're just seeing that margin that they show at the end of the show where they make $80,000, you know, and it's just not realistic. I mean, the standard margin on a flip in Syracuse is probably $15,000 if you're lucky. Yeah. You know, guys that are making a lot more, and I've seen some big numbers that I, you know, in terms of profit and loss, are the worst houses I've ever seen. And it just sickens me. That's why I like what I do in terms of the home inspection side, to alleviate that disaster for somebody that's blinded by that, and that there's other professionals that can help steer people in the right direction and try to minimize that, because it's just it's a crime. It's out there. But as far as what's happening now, you know, the market is just too off balance. The cost for materials is too off balance for me to have any interest in taking the risk to put all that out there for that same return, or maybe more because the end side's higher. But that side, as we are seeing now, is starting to level itself out. So you could get stuck real quick. And I've seen it happen where guys just bail out. I've bought houses that people started to flip and couldn't afford to finish. So it's not easy. And you know, if you want to do it right, like anything, you gotta dedicate a lot of time to it, and or have people that know what they're doing, or both, because there's just no easy path to the finish line when it comes to this end of things. And like somebody just said here recently, anything, there's just no quick money.
You know what, on a last note, unless people have some more questions for Dave, but you know, I've seen recently a couple times is somebody has bought a home that was foreclosed on, you know, they bought it fairly inexpensive, not so much in our seller's market we've been in, but I did see a couple last year, and they took everything down to the studs. So they basically exposed anything that would have been wrong with the house, and then they sell it just for a few thousand dollars over what they paid for it. And then that allows either the contractor or somebody who wants to design it to purchase it and kind of know what's behind all the walls. So yeah, they found the problems, right? There's no surprises because you basically are down to the studs. You see what you see, but they're not looking to make that $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. They're just looking to make a few thousand here and there. So whether it was a land bank deal or something, you know, that they found, and they, well, I guess land bank, they have to get it up to livable, but you know what I mean? Like they find that home, strip it, and then they sell it that way.
Yeah. They're wholesaling, but they're again, taking one phase, which is great. I've done houses that are already gutted. That's a nice step to skip. And it does, it gives you a better idea where you're at uncovering. No, rather than invest all the extra money and time to make $20,000, they'll do a quick handover for 5 or 7 or 10. And but there again, you have to have capital, you know, to go down to the city and sit at the auctions and scoop them up. And that's one of the other problems. I'd buy houses that way, and sometimes there'd be one or nobody at the other side of the table with me. Then you start going down there and there's 10, 15 people all trying to get their first house, all bidding you. Ruining the whole margin starts there. You know, if you can't buy it right, you're starting in third gear. It just doesn't make sense. So Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to scat, but I don't know. For me, I'm just sitting back right now, kind of watching things happen. There's going to be a whole flood of houses available for a lot less than they paid for them about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years from now, I think. What happens then.
I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because Jimmy, times we have this conversation, you know, I hope it's all wrong and I hope everybody's happy in their homes and, you know, everything keeps trolling as it is, but there is quite a lot of talk about the fact that in 4 or 5 years, people that have sat back like you are just sitting back, saving their money and waiting for that onrush of houses. So hopefully we're all still talking 4 or 5 years and we'll see how that pans out. But
yeah.
Anybody have anything else for today?
No, good job, guys.
We're good? Yeah. Perfect. So thanks for all the information, guys. I'll talk to you guys soon. Bye.
All right. See you guys.
Have a good day.